Amos Hod with someone? Chapter, Canto 4, chapter 22, text 12. Svagatam,
go,
Vijashreshtha, Jagratani, Mumum Shabaha, Charanti, Shraddhaya,
যারা রেডিওতে শুনছেন তারা 103 থেকে 95 টুন করুন, কারণ আজকের 103 ইংরেজি ক্লাস হবে এবং 95 যা সাধারণত ইংরেজি ক্লাস হয় সেখানে সেখানে বাংলা ক্লাস হবে। সুতরাং আপনারা সবাই 103 বদলে, কারণ 103 ইংরেজি শুনবেন, 95 টুন করুন, তাহলে আপনারা বাংলা শুনতে পারবেন।
While we're in technology, you could please check your cell phones and see that they are off or silent.
Suagatam.
Suagatam.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Vaha. Unto you. Jidra Shreshtha. The best of the Brahmanas. Yat. Whose. Ratani. Vows. Mumunkshavaha. Of persons desiring liberation. Shodanti. Behave. Shraddhaya. With great faith. Dhiraha. Control. Bala. Boys. Eva. Like. Brahanti. Observe. Cha. Also. Maharaj Pitu offered his welcome to the four Kumaras, addressing them as the best of the Brahmanas. He welcomed them, saying, from the very beginning of your birth, you strictly observed the vows of celibacy. And although you are experienced in the path of liberation, you are keeping yourselves just like small children. Purport. The specific importance of the Kumaras is that they were brahmacharis, living the life of celibacy from birth. They kept themselves as small children, about 4 or 5 years old, because by growing into youth, one's senses sometimes become disturbed and celibacy becomes difficult. The Kumaras, therefore, purposefully remained children, because in a child's life, the senses are never disturbed by sex. This is the significance of the life of the Kumaras, and as such, Maharaj Pitu addressed them as the best of the Brahmanas. Not only were the Kumaras born of the best Brahmana, who are Brahma, but they are addressed herein as Dvija Shreshtha, the best of the Brahmanas, on account of being Vaishnavas also. As we have already explained, they have their Sampradaya, the cyclic succession, and even to date, the Sampradaya is being maintained and is known as the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Out of the four Sampradayas of the Vaishnava Acharyas, the Nimbarka Sampradaya is one. Maharaj Pitu specifically appreciated the position of the Kumaras because they maintained the Brahmacharya vow from the very beginning of their birth. Maharaj Pitu, however, expressed his great appreciation of Vaishnavism by addressing the Kumaras as Vaishnav Shreshtha. In other words, everyone should offer respect to a Vaishnav without considering his source of birth. Vaishnave Jati Bhuti. No one should consider a Vaishnav in terms of birth. The Vaishnav is always the best of the Brahmins, and as such, one should offer all respects to a Vaishnav, not only as a Brahmin, but as the best of the Brahmins. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadharmayam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Jata Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Bhagavantam Ditam Stam Satimam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditam Shah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagat Pate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Mohi Priye, Vancha Gopata Rupyascha, Kripa Sindho Hare Vacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vaishnavi Gaur Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Swagatam Bho Dvija Shrishtha Yat Vritani Mumukshabala Charanti Shraddhaya Dhira Bala Deva Brahanti Cha. Swagatam. The Kumaras were most welcome on account of being lifelong brahmacharis and exalted Vaishnavas. Mumukshabala. They were not interested in enjoying this illusory material world. They were interested in being freed from this miserable material world. Anityam sukham lokam. And therefore, yat vritan, they accepted the vow of brahmacharya life. Because the binding force of material existence is the attraction between male and female. Pumsasriya maitini havani tayorito hiryagatama ata drina kshetra sutta tadittaya janasya mahoyam maham aham mami. To avoid that entanglement, they decided to remain brahmacharis. Their father actually wanted them to get married. But they told him, our dear father, we're not going to get entangled in this material existence. We're going to remain Kumaras, brahmacharis. For remaining brahmachari, they had a very good strategy. They just saved children for life. Unfortunate that this strategy is not available to everyone. But it might interest us to know that sex desire is not simply a matter of biological need as much as social interaction. This is scientific knowledge, if you don't mind scientific knowledge. According to the latest sexual survey of the American population, done in 1994 by reputed scientists, the idea that sexual behavior has so much to do with a sort of wired-in biological need is overstated, and that environmental factors, that is to say, who you're hanging out with and what's going on around you, is much more influential than generally understood to be. So that's sensible. If we hang out with persons who are obsessed with sex life, then that will rub upon us also. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, asat-sangatya e-vaiṣṇava-chara, sri-sangi-eta-shatu, Krishna Bhakta. One of his householder devotees asked, what should be the behavior of a Vaishnava? And the Lord at once responded that his behavior should be to give up the association of asat, bad associations, or materialistic association. Then he further defined what that association is, stri sangi. Those who are too much attached to women for sense enjoyment. Their association is toxic. Stri sangi, ekashati. And Krishna bhaktar, those who are non-devotees or against devotional service, they're also asat. So their association should be given up or avoided. Sangachada, satovita. Twice Rupa Goswami says, what destroys devotional service? Janasanga, association with materialistic people. And what builds devotional service? Sangatyaga, giving up that association. Twice it's mentioned. Even Hiranyakashipu, a great authority, told, is quoted as saying that association is like a crystal that reflects whatever comes into it. So the association of materialistic persons should be avoided. And the association of sincere devotees who are always absorbed in devotional service and hearing and chanting about Krishna should be salt. So the Yadvratan Brahmachari vows to avoid this trap of sex life. Srila Prabhupada once said that simply by this one thing, by avoiding sex life, you become 50% liberated. That's pretty good. 50% liberated from the get-go just by avoiding this one thing, sex life. Yadvatan. Charanti Shraddhaya Dhira. They were very thoughtful and sober. Dhira means thoughtful, sober. Dhira Spatramanu. To know that we're not this body, and to be very serious about the real business of life. The opposite is to be intoxicated by Maya. Oh, so many things are there and we can enjoy like fools. Sense enjoyment is intoxicating. There's intoxication, literal intoxication, that's intoxication. Sex life is another kind of intoxication. So, one should be very sober. Or here, Srila Prabhupada translates, controlled. Uttare natmanatmanam natmanam apasadiye atmayava yatmano bandhura atmayava riparatma bandhura atmanastasya yena atmayava atmana jutaha anatmanastu shakrutve parteta atmayava shakruvas. Lord Krishna told Arjuna, uttare natmanatmanam, one should uplift oneself by one's mind. Not manam apasadi, and not degrade oneself. The mind is the best friend of the living being. And the very same mind is the worst enemy of the living being. Atmaya vigatma no bandhura, atmaya vipuratma. When is the mind The friend, Bandhuratmatmanasvatsa, Yenatmayavatmanasvatsa. When the mind is controlled, then it's our best friend. Then the mind can be focused on Krishna. Then the mind is not implicated in Maya. Like fire, when it's controlled, it's very good. You can cook, you can light something. So much you can do with fire. But when it's uncontrolled, burn your house down, burn you down. Anatmana su shatru ne vartet atmana shatrura. The person whose mind is uncontrolled lives always with his worst enemy. The mind becomes the worst enemy of the conditioned soul when it's uncontrolled. There were some kings. Who were those kings? They were kidnapped by the Narakasura. I think it was those kings. They prayed to Krishna that we were proud and powerful. We were going out as kings of the world and we were conquering all of our enemies. But much Kunda was I was very proud, I was going out and I was defeating all of my enemies. And then I would come back to the palace and fall at the feet of the women for sense gratification. This is the position that one may be conqueror of the world, but can he conquer his own mind and senses? The person who has control of his mind and senses is actually in the superior position. And therefore the Kumaras were better than the best kings. They were better than the best kings. The king might control thousands of people, he might control so much territory. But the Kumaras had perfect control of their mind and senses. Therefore they're better than the best kings. Of course, the best kings are like Prithu Maharaj. They're as good as brahmacharis, as good as sages, because they're fully engaged in the devotional service of Krishna. Therefore, the real, another meaning of brahmachari is one who is moving, chugging, towards Brahma, the absolute truth. That means Krishna. One who's always moving toward Krishna is a brahmachari. And one who's always moving toward sense gratification is something else. So the Kumaras are exalted not only because they control their senses and were free from implication, entanglement, and sex, but also because they were absorbed in devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. Later they'll tell Prithu Maharaj, Yat Pada Pankaja Palashaya Bhaktya. The controlling the mind is, and senses for the waves of material desire is very difficult. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna says, Valadiva Niyojana. The trying to stop the Vayuriva Sudushkara, trying to stop the mind is like trying to stop the wind. A hurricane going on, and you rush up to the front. Stop, I command you. How do you stop the wind? So Arjuna said that it's very difficult to practice this yoga Because controlling the mind, stopping the mind is like stopping wind. And the Kumaras also confirm the same statement by saying that stopping the mind is very difficult. The yogis are trying to do it, but with great difficulty. But for one whose mind is absorbed in thinking of the lotus petal feet of Krishna, it becomes easy business. And therefore, the Kumaras advise, Bhajavasudeva, therefore, you should simply engage yourself in the devotional service of Krishna. Simply trying to observe vows or trying to stop the senses will not be successful. But if one engages in the devotional service of Krishna, then it's possible. Then it's possible. The Kumaras are expert in these matters. Shraddhaya, they engage in following these principles with great sincerity, with great faith. And those who want to be successful on the path of liberation, on the path of brahmacharya life, on the path of devotional service, can remember the Kumaras and how they successfully follow this path of pure devotional service, how they instructed the Kumaras. We may not be able to keep ourselves 4 or 5 years old, it may be already too late, but we can remember the Kumaras, and by remembering them, by remembering them, we associate with them, and by association with them, we get the benefit of their path of Krishna consciousness, or their mentality of pure devotional service. Simply by remembering the Vaishnavas, one's mind becomes purified. So, therefore, the Prithu Maharaj was very pleased that such exalted Vaishnavas had come to his palace, and he offered them all respects, considering himself most fortunate. Are there some questions?
On the one hand, Krishna describes the mind as a material element, one of his inferior energies. On the other hand, we often hear it described almost like a person, like somebody is he's addressing his mind. It's our enemy. We talked about how it's our enemy this morning. It's a phenomenon that almost seems like an alter ego, like a different entity.
Still, it has no separate consciousness. You could say the same thing about your computer. Your computer can be your best friend, or your computer can be your worst enemy. If you log on to Mayapur.tv or Krishna.com, it's your best friend. If you log on to porn.org or something, then it's your worst enemy. If it's controlled, then you can use it for good purposes. When it's uncontrolled, when you come under the control of that fascinating material object, then you get entangled.
But we don't lecture our computers like the devotees. We don't lecture our
computers. You could. But people do all the time. They give it commands, especially the best of the commands, off. I know lots of people who curse their computers. Give it some body language or some verbal commands. So we do that. It's called personification. The American national anthem begins, "My country 'tis of thee," personifying the country as if it were a person. So this is quite common in poetic language or even in everyday affairs to view a material object almost as if it were a person, or to view it in terms of its personal, quasi-personal characteristics. But the mind is matter. It's not a person. And particularly, it's not this person. I'm not, just as I'm not my gross body, I'm also not my subtle body. But people imagine that they are. And then they think that their real business is to get in touch with their feelings. What are the feelings? They're produced from the mind. And then they want to get in touch with, what is my mind telling me? And then surrender to that. Prakritim Mohini Shrita, taking shelter of the illusory energy. They want to get deeply absorbed in their minds, either as philosophers or as psychologists or in some other way, or as people who are taking some sort of self-help process by which they can go deeper inside and deeper until they're practically merged with their minds, utterly absorbed in their minds. It means they paid all this money to get deeper into Maya. So one should carefully distinguish between oneself and one's mind and not fall under the illusion that my thoughts and feelings and all of that is me. It's subtle. Mind is subtle. And therefore it's tricky. One can be bewildered by the mind. The mind says so many things. And we listen. And that becomes a source of trouble. So Uddhareta one should elevate oneself by the mind. Atmanatman, one should control the mind by the intelligence. Evam bhute param bhutva samstadhyatmanam atmanam jahi shatru mahabhava kama rupa durasana. Krishna told Arjuna that one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness. And in that way, one should conquer the enemy, kamarupa durasana, in the form of lust. The desire to enjoy the illusion that I can enjoy in this material world, one should overcome by deliberate spiritual intelligence. If we just go with the mind will take us out to sea. And if we use our intelligence to serve the mind, then the intelligence will convince us that we're doing the right thing in going out to sea. But if the intelligence takes direction from Krishna, in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, if the mind becomes purified, then the mind becomes our best friend the mind comes under control of the intelligence, and the intelligence is under the control of Krishna, then it becomes all right.
Raghunatha Swami's prayer to mind. Batteries come. So the prayers to the mind by Raghunatha is a way of lecturing himself?
Yeah, or lecturing, yeah, lecturing himself. Lecturing the mind means, I want you to be controlled. Again, it's personification. It's not that the mind is a separate person, but it's being treated as if it were a person. It's like if I'm trying to pick something, I tell my hand, now you stay steady. So the hand has no independent existence, it's not a separate person, but I'm concentrating. I want that hand to be steady, so I tell the hand, you stay steady. So we tell the mind that you stay fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Vajrahudevamata, Srinandanandana, Abhayajavanada. So the mind is addressed as if it were a person. Yes.
Subtle
sex, of course, what is that? Smadhanam kirtanam keli prekshanam uyabhashanam sankalpo vyavanascha kalisampatirinacha. There are eight kinds of sex. Smadhanam. You don't have to have sex, you can just hear about it. Men get together and they talk about women. No woman is there, but they're hearing and chanting about sex. That's also a form of sex. Shravanam, so smadhanam, thinking about sex. By hearing about sex, by associating with sexually minded people. But worse, going to internet sites where the mind becomes polluted. I just got a letter from someone that has that problem. Or in so many other ways. So smadhanam, thinking of sex. And kirtanam, talking about it. There's a kind of gross material enjoyment from talking about sex. Did you check out? Different ways of talking about sex. That's also sex, right? Smadhanam, kirtanam, and keli. Keli means playing games, teasing, playing all sorts of cute little games that boys and girls play, pretending that it's not all about sex, when the entire text of the interaction is sex. On the surface, it's about little jokes and little remarks and pretending to be insulted and pretending to give an insult and pretending not to be interested. There's all sorts of little games that go on. The kind of stuff that goes on by the water cooler in the office. Smaranam kirtanam keli, and prekshanam. Prekshanam means glancing. or in vernacular we say, checking someone out. Or Prabhupada would say, observing the bodily structure of the woman, as if you were paid to be the female body inspector. Prekshana. Seeing. That's also sex, just enjoying by seeing. And there are various arrangements for that in the modern society. Prabhupada gave the example of women's tennis. You know, what's the actual sport? Seeing the woman's body in action. So, friction in various ways to see the body of the woman or see the face of the woman and be attractive and enjoy that feeling of attraction. And Bhuya Pashana. Bhuya Pashana means secret thoughts. Getting to clearing sense. Talking secretly with a woman or privately with a woman. The story is famous that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once sitting with some of his disciples, and one young lady, the wife of Dr. Obiyal Kapoor, asked, Guru Maharaj, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. And she said, no, I mean privately. He said, no. Whatever you have to ask, you can ask in the presence of these devotees. I can't talk to you privately. Through your passion. And sankalpa. Sankalpa means developing the determination to have sex. And sankalpa, making endeavors for sex. And kalir sampatri, actual sexual contact. These are all different kinds of sex life to be avoided by those who are serious about following the vow of brahmacharya. Then there are other, sex is a great thing, it's like grows in all directions. So there are other subtle manifestations. The desire for false prestige. That is another kind of manifestation of sex life. One doesn't actually chase women around or this or that, but he builds up his profile and enjoys a kind of subtle enjoyment by knowing that he's being admired, especially by members of the opposite sex. And that's another insidious kind of problem. Very powerful. The desire to be someone is very strong. And no one makes you feel like you're someone more than a woman. Some guy says, that was great. I says, yeah, it was okay. And a woman says, that was so great. And his mind goes to pieces. And he starts to believe it. Gee, well, I'm not. Therefore, Tira, one has to be very sober. And Krishna is great. If anyone is great around here, then Krishna is great. And he attracts the best girls also. The ones that have eternal, spiritual, transcendental forms. who have no contaminated desires, who are completely absorbed in pure devotion and service. He attracts them. For that matter, anyone, everyone is Prakriti. So he attracts everyone who's fortunate enough to come in his orbit of spiritual energy. Something else? Yes?
I was thinking more, not of the eight types of subtle sex, I was thinking more of
the... 9, 10, 11, 12.
I was thinking on prestige, fame, adoration, distinction, because that's also very subtle sex.
Yeah, before I mentioned that.
So how does one get free from that? Not in relation to the opposite sex.
Yeah, of course, generally there is a relation to the opposite sex. Therefore, you're mentioning it as subtle sex life. Even when it's not in relation to the opposite sex, it's in relation to the opposite sex. One has to get free from these things by knowing, first of all, that I'm not this body. And Bhagavad Gita is so important. Some people are under the impression that if Srila Prabhupada were here today, he'd be speaking to us about very esoteric, exalted topics. My conviction is that if Prabhupada were here, he'd be speaking to us about Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because all of these things are found in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Where is all this stuff coming from? It's coming from ahankar. What is ahankar? Ahankar is misidentification with the material energy, with the body and mind. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one should know, whatever is going on with this body is going on because of the laws of material nature. It's not even me. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sadhusha. I'm plugged into the material energy, and the material energy is saying, now do this, now do that, and I'm doing it like a puppet. And ahamkar vimuttatma kartaham vimanyateya. And then I stand up and say, I did it! Vimuttatma. Because I'm a fool. So the actual... So one has to know that I'm not this body. If I think that I'm this body, then I'm atira. And the more that I understand that I'm not this body, the more I become tira. And understanding means, we want to get into deep topics. This is the deepest topic there is. Therefore, Prabhupada said again and again and again and again and again. You're not this body, you're not this body. Still, why did he say it again and again? We realized it the first time, didn't we? It's a project we're still working on to understand that we're not this body. So that we have to understand. And then to understand that everything actually, if there's any credit for anything, it goes to Krishna. I did something because Krishna let me do it. Arjuna conquered Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Jayadrata, all the big Timingil fish of the Kurukshetra battlefield because Krishna helped him. And when Krishna withdrew the power, he couldn't even defeat a batch of cowherd men. So where does the credit go? It goes to Krishna. If anything is possible, it's possible by the grace of Krishna. And therefore, the pure devotee always remembers Krishna. And in that way, he's freed from intoxication. So, what am I so? I'm a tiny little ant. Anuraniya Mahato Vaniya. Krishna is greater than the great, and we're smaller than the small. And we're thinking, I did it, I'm so fantastic. As they say, get off it. Krishna is great. Therefore, by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So that we'll always think of Krishna and remember that Krishna is great and I'm part of Krishna, that's all. Okay. Yeah. Hare. The microphone is headed toward you.
Krishna, if you don't mind, Maharaj, could you mention something about how the manner of dress either fosters and promotes Vaishnav culture or fosters and promotes Asuric consciousness?
Oh, a lot could be said about that. This dress is so nice that even non-devotees, when they see it, think of Krishna. I was walking in an airport one time on one of those moving platforms and conveyors, and there was some other guy going the other way. Was, you know how people are always talking on their cell phones? And so he's saying, you know, yeah, I'm just going past some Hare Krishna. So just because of the dress, he chanted Hare Krishna. And what to speak of people who are Hare Krishnas, who are devotees of Krishna, by seeing other devotees and by seeing the signs of the devotee, they remember Krishna. By seeing the tilak, by seeing the japamala, by seeing the devotee dress, then they naturally think of Krishna. You go to a place where everyone's like that, and naturally think of Krishna. Because everyone's reminding you of Krishna. And then you go, you see some other kind of dress, and it's not meant for that purpose. And very often it's meant for some other purpose, specifically sex, to call attraction to what this part of the body is like, or what that part of the body is like, is practically the essence of the fashion design profession. That's what it's all about. And, you know, under different, right? Here's the model, he knows the story. That's what it's about. You know, otherwise, why do you sell a rag for, you know, $875? For sexual attraction. That's what you're selling. It's not the cotton or silk or any of that. It's the false prestige and it's the strategy for attracting the eyes of the opposite sex. And sometimes it's grosser and sometimes it's subtler and sometimes it's more refined and sometimes it's more crude. But that's basically the name of the game. So that's a game that we'd rather not play. Now, there are times when, you know, like when you're running the printing press, for example, this may not be the best kind of clothing to wear unless you want to get sucked into the machine. So there's utility when we're distributing books. We may find it more advantageous to dress in some other dress. So for the service of Krishna, a devotee can dress like anything. But as our preferred default mode is to dress as Srila Prabhupada appreciated. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second, let's get you a microphone also. You're not the loudest of the loud.
Is it fixed by Krishna that who will become Brahmacharya or Grihastha?
Is it fixed by Krishna that you'll be Brahmacharya or that you'll be Grihastha?
We saw one example that Balaram, he took Revati as his wife. She was another Rudolph.
She was?
Not in Dapur.
another yuga.
Another yuga. Balaramta Revati is his wife.
Yes, Revati was, she was so tall.
Revati was so tall. I don't understand the question. Seems to be two different questions. Yeah, you.
Revati was too, even after the everyday planet, they come back the time that's it all.
Yeah, he was. He went to the heavenly planets looking for King Revati. Went looking for a match for his daughter, and he had, you know, maybe this guy in mind or that guy in mind. And was it Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma left him and said, you know, whoever you were thinking of, they died 100,000 years ago. Because you've come to Brahmaloka and time is different here. So forget it. All those people are like, history has even forgotten who they were. But still there's someone who's a suitable match. So that's Lord Balaram. So that relationship was made. Well, there were two things. There was something about Revati and Balaram, which I tried to. Yeah, so there. I don't know how the two relate to the other, but the other is it fixed by Krishna whether you will remain brahmachari or married? Everything is fixed by Krishna. And everything also is up to you. Anyway, even if it's fixed by Krishna, you don't know which way it's going to go. So better, you know, go for the brahmachari option, and then if it's fixed by Krishna some other way, then you surrender. But if you surrender in advance, you're like, you're going to win a war, but because it's not, you know, because the result of the war is up to Krishna, you surrender at the beginning of the war. That doesn't make any sense at all. At least fight, and maybe you'll win. How does that seem to you? You gotcha? Whichever way the microphone goes, there's some ladies in the back who have some questions.
Maharaj, we were talking about association, and it seems like on the physical plane, people would be very diligent about what association they take up. They wouldn't go out into the street and hang out with somebody that's standing there smoking a cigarette and having all kinds of non-Vaishnav behaviors. Can you speak a little bit about how also, now that the computer age is here and we have contact with association on a more insidious level from around the world, where we find that there's all kinds of movies and TV shows being downloaded and watched by our children. And we could be very diligent about what kind of association they take up on the physical plane, but we also...
Yeah, it's said about fish, that people who eat fish eat everything. Because the fish is at the bottom of the ocean, and he's eating everything. And so you eat the fish and you eat everything. So something like that with computers, people who get involved with computers in that way eat everything. You know, all the content from the bottom of the three modes of material nature is available at the press of a button, and one who's uncontrolled can get in serious trouble that way. I get letters, you know, I get mail from different people. Regularly I get mail from devotees who have serious problems in their life because they press the wrong buttons on the internet and can't stop. We have sannyasis who've had that problem in the past, who, you know, just went to the wrong places and couldn't pull out. So one should be very, very careful If possible, it's really great. If you want the thrill of your life, go up to the balcony, take your computer, and throw it. If somehow your service prevents you from doing that, then be self-controlled about where you go, knowing that all three of the modes of material nature are available on the internet. If you can't do that, there's software to help you do that. Parental control software, it's called. It's meant for helping your kids stay off the bad places or the terrible places, because there's, ordinary, normal places that are, by our standards, bad. But at least staying out of the very pits, there's software that does that. For $30, you can put a clamp on any computer. And Google parental control software, Google that, and you can find good software for about $30 and install it. And that should help to some extent.
Yeah, because I was specifically referring to the fact that the children can go and download all kinds of movies and television shows, and it's not good association.
No, it's a terrible association. It's a problem, all of these wonderful inventions of Maya. You may not, your kid may not have a computer, or may be restricted from access. That's wonderful. Otherwise, parental control software may be helpful. Otherwise, being on a network where everyone who uses it knows that everybody else can know what they're looking at. Network administrative approaches, which I would recommend for every temple in ISKCON. If you're an ISKCON temple and you feel that you have to provide Wi-Fi or whatever for your temple inmates, then spend the money for administrative software that will let you see who it is that at 11:30 at night is logged onto the internet to download. Oh my God, from who knows where. Or just who's wasting time, who's spending 3 hours a day on Facebook instead of reading Srinivasan. So one should know that it's like fire. If you have stoves and propane in your temple, then you fire, you install fire extinguishers and instructions about what to do in the event of. So computers are just as dangerous. And if you install computers for the sake of service, then you should also install the requisite safety devices. Good investment. Even financially, One person, 3 hours a day at Facebook times five people, it's 15 hours a day times number of days in a week, number of days in a month, and how much service have you saved. Time is money. Yes?
Hi, Krishna. In preaching to young devotees about not watching porn movies, not reading non-devotee books. Sometimes I get the argument that, in Kali Yuga, they say that we don't get a reaction from offenses that we commit in the mind. So in the same way, just by reading or by seeing, we're not doing anything wrong, and so we don't get any reaction for that. So could you speak a little bit?
Yeah, that's true. For reading about James Bond in bed with whoever it is, or you don't get any reactions. You read a rape story about some guy step by step raping some woman. You don't get the reactions for raping the woman. But what does it do to your mind? It's not that the only thing that can happen to you is that you get the reactions for what you read about. You get the reactions for doing the reading. You didn't do the things that you read about. All you did was reading, and so all you get the reactions for is reading. And what's the reaction for reading that glop? The reaction is that your mind melts down. And it goes from the pure, cool, happy mind of a devotee into being the mind of a pig or a dog. But you don't suffer the reactions for the things that were done in the movie or the things that you read about. So everything's fine, right? I want you to consider it. And these things are put together, movies and all of that, by people who are professionals in screwing up your mind. Not really big. It's not a business for amateurs. If you really don't know how to do it, you're going to be a failure at the box office. You have to know the various ways that, with the right music and the right dress and the right plot and the right this and the right that, you can keep somebody's mind totally absorbed for 3 hours. And that involves all sorts of lower modes of nature. Unless you're one of those professionals who specializes in the mode of goodness, of which there might be 3 on planet Earth. Hold on 1 second. And I'm going to stop in 2 minutes. We started 15 minutes late, but we're back 15 minutes late.
Balabhadra Prabhu, resident from Atlanta, discovered the Spiritual Cinema Circle.
Spiritual Cinema Circle.
It's a director from Los Angeles who takes submissions of different spiritual films, Christian films, like that, and every month we'll send you for 12 weeks, 6 spiritual movies. Brother Signs of Spiritual Cinema Circle.
Okay.
Nobody submitted our movies, I don't think there's an option for the movie.
Okay, there's an opportunity to submit our movies to the Spiritual Cinema Circle so that people who are in that circle can be benefited. Otherwise, there's another circle called the Kirtan Mandali. Just come into the temple, see Radha Madhav and Panchatattva, chant Hare Krishna, and eventually you'll see the whole spiritual world.